Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I have a new book release. The new book is called Unlimited Possibilities. So those of you that find yourself stuck in life and need something to get you motivated and activated into your purpose, which is the promise God gave to you from the beginning, then you need to purchase Unlimited Possibilities. You can visit my website at www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, or you may email me at soultopics@gmail.com. soultopics@gmail.com. Unlimited Possibilities is my fourth book. My first book is From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt, and I talk about how I started out in this walk of life and in my marriage and became a victim of domestic violence, and talk about the survivorship doing that and how I got out of that situation and was able to go forward and do what I'm doing right now. My second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. That simply means just what it says. We've got to forgive where we've been to free where we've got to go. And the third book, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. Our young teens are going through so many different oppositions in life these days, and I'm so glad I have a guest with me tonight, Dr. Lavinia Allen. But before we bring her on, I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am Shirley Carter. I'm an entrepreneur as well. I have a nonprofit organization called Against All Odds, as well as an entertainment company. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yes, Shirley, we have Dr. Lavinia Allen on the show tonight. I'm so glad she was able to call in because, you know, it's a rarity because she's always on the mission field doing things for the Master, which is God the Father. And she has a new book out called Changed and Not Ashamed. Dr. Allen is a businesswoman, inspirational speaker, and this is one of her first of many books that she is going to bring forth. Dr. Allen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. How are you?
Thank you so much for joining.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm excited because this book, Changed and Not Ashamed. Tell us, where did the title originate from? How did you come up with that title?
Well, you know, when I was searching for titles, I thought about my life and where God has brought me from, and I figured I needed to share my life, and I wanted to say something that would show where I had been, and I wanted to share it with others, but yet I'm not ashamed of it, hoping that this would inspire others, you know, to do the same.
Right now, for those that haven't read your book yet or know where you're coming from, your book is it talks about how you became a young parent. I would say teenage, but you weren't wiping your nose good.
that is so true.
The listeners.
Yes. Well, I became pregnant at the age of 14. At the time, I was an honor student in CLU. And as, like I say, I became pregnant, I was not able to return to school. You know, during those days, and this was a long time, I'm speaking of years and years ago, girls were not allowed to return to regular school. In order for you to go back to school, you would have to go to school for like 2 years, you know, to complete one grade. So I don't know of anyone that did that. I know I didn't. So I was just, you know, I was just absolutely devastated that I couldn't return to school. So, of course, you know, I just started doing whatever I wanted to do. I felt I honestly felt I had no future. So I felt hopeless. So I just started doing everything I could think to do that was not correct.
Now, Dr. Allen, you talked about you being an honor student. What was that like? You know, because it's like, okay, you're an honor student. How did you wind up getting pregnant and yet intelligent, on the honor roll, with, you know, your whole life before you. How was that, and where did you make that transition?
Well, you know, during the time, Valerie, I was hanging out with people that were older than I was. And by me being an honor student, I was allowed many privileges, including being on the senior team for, you know, I was on the pep team, and I was on the senior team. So, therefore, I was with boys and girls that were older than I was. So I actually had a boyfriend that was 3 years older than I was. So at the time, you know, I thought we could do what we were doing in secret and no one would find out. I don't know if what I was thinking. At the time, it seemed like I was thinking that maybe because I was an honor student, he was a star football player, that, you know, it just wouldn't happen to us. So that,
I'm glad
that's how
it
happened.
Like that, mm-hmm. that it couldn't
yeah.
happen to us. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, a lot of young teens doing it and younger are thinking that same way, that I'll just do it this one time. And, oh, he's being careful. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have
mm-hmm.
nothing to worry about because I trust him with my life and he promised me nothing would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But something did happen.
Yes, it did. And, you know, when that happened, it impacts your whole life. You know, during the time when I became pregnant, you know, it was years and years ago, and the only diseases that we heard of then also was syphilis and gonorrhea. And I don't know anyone that contracted that disease. So, you know, it was a problem then. Teenage pregnancy was a problem then, and it remains a problem. So I, you know, during my pregnancy, there were just so many things that was, you know, that took place in my life. You know, I was in my neighborhood, and the neighborhood in which I was growing up in, you know, was a family, you know, was family unit. And people there, they seemed to think that it was what I had done was morally wrong. So I had a very difficult time, very difficult. At one time, I was even propositioned by one of my neighbors, and then when I refused, he told me, he says, "Well, what difference would it make? You're already knocked up." So, you know, this absolutely destroyed me mentally.
The humiliation of it all.
Absolutely, absolutely, and you know, being told that I should get married before I disgraced the neighborhood. There was just so many things that was taking place. And the very person that, you know, I would think that would have some compassion for me would be my guidance counselor, which she did not. Before I became pregnant, oh, she had so many wonderful, nice things to say about me. But once she found out I was pregnant, everything changed. It was like she just totally changed. And she saw me as a nothing and a nobody. And
wow.
She so much has told me that, you know.
Wow. What advice would you give to a parent whose teen has become pregnant and is at a young age? And what would you say to them? What advice would you give?
Well, you know, from experience, I would say that you still have to love them through it. You know, they have made a mistake, but even though they have made that mistake, you still have to love them and you still have to encourage them to move forward because, you know, each and every one of us was born with purpose, you know, and this way you can easily lose out on what you think your purpose is if you don't have the support of your parents. And fortunately for me, I did have the support of my mother. And that was the only thing that, you know, that really – you know, got me through all of this because my homeroom teacher, you know, she wanted to send me away to have the baby because she just figured I had such a huge future ahead of me that it would just be a crime for me not to be able to return to school, and she was going to send me away. But my mother refused to send me away. So I had to go through the humiliation of having that baby. But during this time, my mother remained faithful. I mean, she continued to love me through it all. And what was even worse because I didn't care about anything anymore when I got pregnant at 14. At 15, I was pregnant again. Mm. And at 17, I was pregnant. I was the mother of three children, married and the mother of three children.
Wow. Now, were you forced to get married because you had the first one or the second one?
No, you know what? I wasn't forced. It wasn't forced upon us to get married. My boyfriend, he was still in school. Went ahead and completed school. But after I had gotten pregnant, why don't we get married? After I got pregnant the second time, I told him, why don't we just get married? And, of course, you know, I wasn't old enough. Neither one of us was old enough to obtain a license. Our parents, they had to stand, you know, with us to get the license.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, your life has certainly taken some twists and turns, and those of you that want to know more about her story and the transition, I invite you to purchase her book, Change and Not Ashamed. Dr. Allen, where can they get that?
Well, they can call me at 954-232-6363. They can also log on to my website, which is www.abmministry.com, or they can email me at LaviniaAllen@comcast.net.
Okay, now how do you spell it? Because, you know, I never heard of a Lavinia until I met you.
Oh, okay. Well, it's LUVENIAALLEN@comcast.net.
Thank you so much. Now, you do so many other things, Dr. Allen.
Well, you know what? I have been truly, truly blessed. You know, like I say, I was pregnant at 14, didn't think that I was going to have a future whatsoever. But during this whole transition, I ended up, you know, getting sick. This is just like, the road to where I'm at now. I ended up getting sick. So, therefore, I was able to return. I was able to go to college under a program that was called DVR, which was Division of Vocational Rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And there I met this social worker while I was still in the hospital, and she told me about this program. So I went, and I took the entrance exam to NYU, and I was able to pass, and I started NYU, and I was only there for one semester, because while I was there, I met another counselor who told me about an RN program. So from there, I transferred from New York University to Bronx Community College, where the program was a two-year program. I came out with my RN, and I was able then to work and have some support for my children. But
wow.
As life evolved, there are so many things they really need to buy the book. You know, I'm just hitting here and there. But during all this time, the oldest son, remember this child that I had when I was 14?
Yeah.
He was killed. He and I was walking out of a store, you know, where the arcade, where the kids go and play the games.
Mm-hmm.
He and I was walking out with our arms across one another, and one of the young men started shooting. This bullet went through my jacket, and one went through his back, through his chest, and he died. And from that very moment, I wanted absolutely nothing to do with God. I wanted nothing to do with God. So I've spent many, many years living a life without God in my life. But then other things happened until I was pushed against the wall, until I had no one else to turn to but God.
Hmm.
And when I rededicated my life to the Lord, that's when things start changing in my life. There was hope. I could see my life just changed. And after about 4 years, God, he called me. He let me know what my purpose was. And since then, I have been ordained as an ordained minister, and now I'm doing missionary work. I'm also the founder of Agape Benevolent Mission Ministry, which is a ministry that caters to, you know, people that are homeless. And we have a huge project that we are endeavored on now, and that is a project where we are sending kids to school in Haiti for $200 a year. A child can go to school for an entire year, including two meals. So I was just in Haiti this past May. I was able to send, we have several kids now enrolled in school, which to me I think is absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely.
But besides going to Haiti, I also just returned, 3 weeks ago from India. And there we was able to go and just minister. Usually we go over with the health team. But this trip we only had just the ministers, and only thing we did was the training and ministering. And I'm absolutely speechless when I tell you how those people are so receptive of the word of God.
Oh, wow. And, you know, who would have thought a young Lavinia, who's gotten pregnant at 14 years old and then had another one at 15, and wound up having three children and progressing on as you did, what would have happened if you had forgotten? Had given up because of what people said, people's opinion of you. You know, I shudder to think the lives that you wouldn't have been able to touch had you given in to the naysayers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know something, one of the things, I keep going back to my mom, because even though I had made that huge mistake, my mom always told me that, you know, I was a wonderful, she always just built me up. You know, one of the big things that happened in my life is when we was living in Arkansas when I became pregnant, but my mom moved to New York, and that was like the turning point in my life, because then I was able to return to school, and I was able to, you know, complete my high school education. That way I was able to enter into college.
Okay.
But my mom always told me, she always told me that, you know, that I could be, you know, she just built me up. You know, you know how sometimes your mom can just brag on you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're my baby. And, you know, even though I was the oldest, she would still tell me, call me her baby. You know, so I just absolutely love my mother. If it wasn't for her, I don't know what I would have done.
Okay, now tell us about the transition from New York to here and how you got into the nursing industry.
Well, after I was attending NYU, and I was told about a two-year program at Bronx Community College. So
mm-hmm.
there I transferred from New York University to Bronx Community, where there was a two-year program in nursing. And I went to school for 2 years, passed the board of nursing. Of course, it was very difficult for me. Chemistry was the most difficult class I've ever taken, and I still don't really understand it. But by the help of my brother, you know, I had a brother who was extremely smart in all the maths and the sciences, and I would just get on the phone with him, and he would walk me through my homework. I also had a professor, Professor Clark, who I absolutely, you know, every time he looked up, I was in his face. We had more than one campus at Bronx Community. And whatever campus, even if I didn't have a class that day, I would find him. And he once told me, he says, oh, my goodness, I look at you more than I do my wife. Every time I look up, I'm looking at you. But I had to pass. I was determined to pass, and I wanted, it had to be the 2 years. The program was for 2 years, and I didn't want to be left behind. So I worked very hard. And after I passed the State Board of Nursing, and I got my first job at Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. And I worked there for several years before moving out to Long Island, New York, where
okay.
I worked there as a registered nurse.
Wow, how exciting. I mean,
you know, I those of you that are listening, you have got to get this book as she takes you through her journey of from 14 years old up to the present day of all the things that she's been able to do and accomplish, you know, even being a young teenage mother and dealing with the adversities and then the death of your firstborn, living through that tragedy. What would you say or what advice would you give to a parent that has lost their child? Because, you know, in this dispensation we're in now, it's more prevalent now than it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I lost my child, I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And I do believe that, at least I know, that if you do have a relationship with him, he will carry you through it. You know, he brought me through all of this, and I didn't have a relationship with him. You know, even though I considered, I thought I was angry with God and, you know, that he wasn't there. But you know what, as I look back over my life, I know you've heard this, read this about the footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can look back over my life and see where there was only one set of footprints and those was his, because he had to have carried me through many things in my life. I mean, there are so many things that happened. I mean, you know, I ended up with cancer. I had cancer at 24. I had active tuberculosis at the same time, age 24. So when you know, you look back over your life and you say, well, it had to be God. So I say to any parent, I mean, in his heart, even with God, I mean, it's hard. That is the worst thing that could ever happen to you. But with God, anything is possible. He will get you through it. He will take you through it. You know, and there are times when you may not be able to carry yourself, but he's right there to do it for you. You know, go ahead.
Now, did you discover that you had cancer? Was it prior to your son's death or afterwards?
It was prior to my son's death. Yeah, it was prior to my son's death. I was only 24 when I had cancer.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, so, you know, when I look at that, you know, you take a look back at that, you say, well, if I had not had those children, I wouldn't have any now. Because after having cancer, I wasn't able to have children anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But thank God, you know, he carried me through this. And again, my mom, she sat there for months because I was in the hospital. I went in the hospital in March. And I wasn't discharged from the hospital until August. So all that time I was in the hospital, he allowed me to come home once. And that was like the end of July. I came home once so I would be able to see my children, because at the time children were not allowed in the hospital.
Okay.
So he allowed me, you know, because I had been away from home for so long. So he allowed me to come, you know, come home. But at the time when, you know, after I was actually discharged from the hospital, I was still being treated for tuberculosis. So at that time, I mean, the doctor advised my mother to take my kids, because my mother was going to return to Arkansas. So he advised my mother to take my children until I was, you know, well enough to care for them. So at the time, he allowed me, you know, just to be here for a while so I would be able to, you know, to go to school. But other than that, I had to remain home. So that was another thing. A whole year, my kids and I were separated from one another.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's been a journey.
Indeed.
It has been a journey.
Indeed. Those that are just joining us, I am talking to Dr. Lavinia Allen. She's a new author of a book called Change and Not Ashamed, and you can purchase this by visiting her website. Dr. Allen, would you give out your website, please?
It's www.abmministry.com, or you can call me at 954-232-6300. Or you can email me at Lavinia Allen, that's LuvinaAllen@comcast.net.
Thank you so much for that. Now, you talked about the mission work that you're doing. How do individuals get a hold of you if they want to donate to your Haiti project that you're currently working on?
Oh, they can go to the same website, www.abmministry.com.
And what needs do you have for your foundation?
Well, we can always use school supplies, but the greatest need is financial support.
Mm-hmm.
That is the greatest need.
Right, because that way you'll be able to purchase exactly what's needed on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that, and they can make, you know, they don't have to make the $200 contribution at one time. They can do, you know, be a partner, do monthly. That's a great way to contribute, do monthly donations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So,
Dr. Allen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Dr. Allen, what's your project in Haiti? This is for the kids. That's $200 covers their schooling and two meals a day. Now, can an individual say pay in advance, or is it just only you can only pay yearly for it or monthly? Okay. So a person say if they wanted to give $400, they can that would cover two children. They can take as many as they like. Okay. And then the other question that I have is, with your organization, what you're doing, and you're going to these different countries, and I'm listening to your story about at 14, you became a mother, and by 17, you had three children, and all the things that you've gone through, and still hold on to your faith, and like you said, at that time, you did not have a relationship with God, but you recognize that He had your back, that
Absolutely.
He was carrying you when you couldn't, that He had your back, and that you know now that He had a plan for your life from day one.
Absolutely. You know, I love reading the whole Psalms 139. I absolutely love reading that whole entire Psalms. I also enjoy reading Jeremiah 29:11, where He knows the plans that He has for me, plans of good and not evil. I love that. And you know what? It seems as if He's talking just to me, because when I think about what I have gone through and what I've put my children through, it's amazing. When He called me to ministry, I couldn't believe it. Me? He want me, someone who for years said that they couldn't stand Him? You know, I used to think about, you know, people would say, well, in John 3:16, God gave His only Son. Well, you know, when people would say that to me, it would absolutely make me angry. Because, I said, well, something, that was His choice. You know, I had a fresh mouth, and my heart was black. So, things would come out of my mouth that really should not have come out. But I would say, it was His choice. But it was not my choice to have a child at 14 and then for Him to take him. But then you have to look back also at being disobedient. You know, when you're disobedient, there are consequences you have to bear. So now that I am saved, there are so many things that I can look back and say, well, yes, I was disobedient. I shouldn't have been doing, I should have been obeying my mom. I knew better. But, that's how we are. We, a lot of times we never take responsibilities for our own actions, We always want to blame others. And in my case, I was blaming God. But now that I am saved, I look back and I say, He had me in His hands all along. He had my plans already laid down before the foundation of the earth. So,
What else could I ask for? And during all this time, you know, and getting pregnant, I never contracted any type of disease. Of course, like I say, the only thing that I knew about was gonorrhea and syphilis, but I never contracted any of that. And even during my wild life, I never contracted anything. He just kept me because he had need of me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And, you know, one of the things you said that was powerful was that you had gotten sick, you had cancer, and had you not had your children when you did, you wouldn't have been able to have children.
Mm-hmm. That's so,
so
true.
So God's hand was there in the midst of that. So a lot of times people say, you know, they made a mistake, but, you know, the Lord allows things to happen and they are not mistakes. You know, mm-hmm. He has a purpose and a plan for it. Yes, you know, we do things out and we're disobedient, but His hand is still on our life because He is a merciful God.
Yes,
and
He is.
Says, okay, yeah. Being that you did this, okay, this is what I'm going to do here because mm-hmm. I want my plan fulfilled. I need my purpose fulfilled in the earth. So this is what's going to transpire now because I need to get your attention. I need to get you focused. And had you not gone through this situation that you went through, you wouldn't have this testimony and be reaching out and serving the lives that you are serving right now. So I do applaud you for maintaining and keeping the faith, keeping the struggle. And although it was not a friendly or peaceful time and transition for you, that you were able to go through, regardless of the opposition. And that certainly is needs an applause. Mm-hmm. What is next
well,
for you? Because you've gone through so many, done so many different things. What's next?
Well, right now, you know, I have completed an application with the Broward County School Board. And I plan on being a mentor in the Broward County school system. I'm also getting ready to head up a project on HIV prevention because as a nurse, you know, working as a nurse for many years, it was unfortunate that I had to take care of so many HIV patients, mm-hmm. and some of them were so young. Many of them contracted the disease while they were teenagers, you know, and now with the statistics now are absolutely staggering.
What are the
you know,
statistics
we have,
looking like?
Well, right now, let me see, we have like in Broward County, I think in Broward County we're about, what, the second? Broward County is second to Miami-Dade County in HIV. Florida itself is third compared to California. Let me see, it's California and New York. And the males, we have males, and especially the black males, they're mm-hmm. 15 to 1. 15 to 1 with HIV. You know, I mean, of course, you know, everyone is living longer now with it, but you just don't want to have it. It's
right.
A terrible death. It is absolutely a terrible death, and no one wants to get it. We want to prevent that. And in doing, if you know, you can't talk about teenage pregnancy without mentioning sexually transmitted diseases, you know, because if they're getting pregnant, they're having unprotected sex. If they're having unprotected sex, they're putting themselves at risk. So now you're not only worrying about having a baby, but you're also worrying about your life. You know, so that is the next project that I am, you know, embarking on. Actually, I've already, you know, started working on it. And I did touch lightly on those issues in my book because these, and you know, I want the parents to read the book. But I also, this book is also for our youth, you know, because they are our future.
Yeah.
And if we don't, you know, if we don't protect them, and I tell you, this disease is really, it's rampant. is absolutely rampant. And the teenagers, they are having, see, you know, one of the things that kids need to know how HIV is transmitted. You know, a lot of kids seem to think that just if you are not having vaginal sex, then you're not going to get pregnant. But you can get you can catch HIV by doing it vaginally, anally, as orally. And we have a lot of teenagers who participate in oral sex because they say, well, you know, we're not having sex. They don't consider that as sex.
That's correct.
But it is sex. And they can contract AIDS or HIV. So, you know, they need to know that. And like I say, I have never contracted any disease, but, you know, I think that they can respect me telling them, sharing with them my life, the fact that I did have children at such an early age, but the fact that I also was able to, you know, turn that around and be restored. And I want them to have to know that they can also do the same thing. They can also live a productive life. Now, they need to know that they have, you know, they are born for purpose as well. You know,
absolutely.
One of the things I notice now that, you know, with the teenagers, they have more opportunities, I mean, in terms of being able to return to school and so forth. But I still find that a lot in my research, even though that, you know, the opportunities are there, many of them do not take, they do not take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to know that it's important for them to do this because not only are you hurting yourself, but, you know, you hurt your children as well, you know. And that's another thing I like to bring out. Children just shouldn't have children because, you know, children really don't know how to take care of children.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something easily said, but it's a mouthful.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm going to open up the lines for those that have questions for you, Dr. Allen. I have
okay.
a caller waiting. Last digits of your number is 7444. Caller, you're on the air.
Good evening. How are you, everyone on the line?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. My name is Carlina Funches. I'm calling from Chicago. And Dr. Lavinia, I'm a 35-year-old single mother of two boys, and I'm truly inspired by your journey. And I look forward to reading your book, not only just reading it, but purchasing it for my friends and cousins and my little sister. But I do have one question. How do you advise that I talk with young adults within my circle about these types of issues without seeming to them like I'm nagging? You know how these young folks nowadays are. They're like, oh, I've heard it all again. Oh, you can't tell me anything. So how do you think I should address those issues, how to talk with them about these issues?
Well, you know, I'm very straightforward, you know, and I let them know that it's possible, you know, a lot of kids seem to think that, oh, HIV is out there, but it's not, you know, it's not for them, it won't happen to them. You know, I'm able to approach them and let them know that it can happen to any of them. And I can tell them because, you know, the fact that I have taken care of so many of them. And you know what, you be just straightforward. Just let them know that it's a possibility for them to get pregnant. It's a possibility for them. They're putting themselves at risk. Not, you know, not only are they putting themselves at risk, you know, for pregnancy, but for HIV.
Hmm.
And there are many other sexually transmitted diseases out there. But, you know, those are, you know, HIV and AIDS are the ones that are more prevalent. Those are the ones that really, you know, so they has no cure for it as of yet. So I would just say be straightforward.
Thank you.
Are you there?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Calling in.
And thanks, Lolly.
Okay. Now, Dr. Allen, you know, the thing you said was that you've taken care of a lot of them who've come down with the disease, so you know how devastating it can be. Have you had any of them, you know, like the cases that you've had where they've regretted it? Because I know that there are cases where individuals that have AIDS, they brag about the fact that they are able to go forth and continue to have sex and transfer it to other people.
Well, you know what, one of the things that happens, I find that, you know, in taking care of people, a lot of people that have had, you know, have contracted the disease, that they are angry, you know, and once they, you know, they're angry, and even if they are not taking it out on the person that gave them AIDS, they say, well, somebody gave it to me, and I would give it to them. Even in the hospitals, you know, sometimes when you go in and they want medications and you have to give it to them, you know, by IV, sometimes they'll jerk their arm or whatever, you know, because they don't care. You know, they don't care. They're angry, and they're angry with the world. So a lot of them, they just don't care. And some will share with you, but a lot of times I find that most of them are very angry, and it takes a long time before they start to open up. You know, if you start taking care of them, and, you know, what we call the open door, where they're coming back and forth, and you get to know them, then they start to open up, you know, as to how they contracted the disease and so forth. And, you know, there was a time when people were getting AIDS by blood transfusions, and that is, you know, you just don't hear of that anymore. So,
right.
You know, when they contract AIDS, when they have AIDS now, you know that it's sexually transmitted. So they do open up.
Well, you know, you being a nurse and going to these different countries, et cetera, should we be concerned about transfusion?
Well, you know, I'm not here now. I don't know how the blood is being screened in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I know that it's well screened here. So I don't know about other countries how well they screen their blood.
Okay.
But for people that are coming into this country, and see, that's another thing, you don't know. You just don't know who has. You can't look at anyone and say, you know, they have it or they don't have it.
Oh, you know, thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yes. So you just,
yeah,
you know, you just
need to expand on that some more, because there's a lot of young people that are, you know, dating, and they're having sexual relationships with individuals based because of the fact that they look good.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very important.
Well, you know something, I have taken care of some really knocked-down, good-looking, handsome men and some absolutely beautiful women, you know, and I have watched them dwindle to nothing.
Wow.
I have watched them. You know, I do, for the past 10 years, I worked in California. And I will not say the hospital, but I worked in California. And I was, you know, was able to see a lot of people going in and out. And you meet them, and they come in, and they have that diagnosis. And they look nice and healthy, you know. But as the years go by, all that changes.
Mm.
So you can't look at a person and tell. You just have to be careful. And I'd say for our young people, the best thing is just don't do it. And I know that, you know, it's hard to say, and I know that a lot of them want to have sex, but, I mean, if you absolutely have to have sex, then you must protect yourself. That is an absolute must, protect yourself.
And could you clear up those that think if they do it one time, they can't get pregnant or they can't contract the disease? Can you clear that up?
Oh, yes. You can get pregnant the first time having sex, and you can also contract the disease the first time. You know, a lot of times, you know, I have met women who had sex with a person for the first first time and the only time, and have gotten pregnant and have contracted a disease. It only takes one time. You know, you don't have to keep having repeated sex to catch a disease or to get pregnant. It only takes once.
Wow. Okay, any
Dr.
other...
Allen, you're talking about young people and everything and HIV, but I'm finding too, and I don't, you know, and clear this up for me too, is that there's still a lot of people that are in their 40s and 50s that are contracting HIV because they are not using protection.
Absolutely.
You see that?
And
Yes.
You find the ones that are older, they are contracting the disease, and you find a lot of them that have the disease. They caught the disease while they were still young. They were still teenagers. So now it has progressed into AIDS. But you find a lot of the younger women liking the older men. They have the disease, and they transfer it to them. You know, we have a lot of women now. We call them what we call them, cougars? They like the younger men?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, you know, they go and they have these younger men, and, you know, these young guys, they're doing it with this one, they're doing it with that one. They have many partners, you know? So everybody, young and old alike, need to be protecting themselves. I had one client here that died, and this must have been about 10 years ago, 10 or 12 years ago. And he was in his late 50s, and he had AIDS. So
he had just contracted
AIDS,
in his late 50s, or he had had it and it was hibernating all that time?
Well, you know, he's saying that he contracted while he was old. He was going with a younger girl, and he said he contracted it from her, which is quite possible.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know the girl, confidentiality, so I didn't know the person that he contracted it from. But in caring for him and, you know, in taking his history and everything, he said that he contracted it from his young partner.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, one of the, I forgot who asked the question or talked about the fact that there's a lot of elderly people contracting AIDS and different diseases. And it is also a myth that older seniors think that because they're older and that person is old in the same age bracket as them, that because they're haven't been sexually active in a long time and then become active, that it's okay to go and have unprotected sex because, after all, they're old and they can't get it.
That's a myth. AIDS does not discriminate. You know, it has no age barriers. It has no race barriers. You know, it's no gender barriers. AIDS does not discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Old people can contract it. Young people can contract it. And what's even sad is that mothers can pass it on to the unborn babies. That's
mm-hmm.
even sad, you know. So, yes, everyone can catch AIDS. Everyone is potentially at risk. We all need to be careful. Not only that, we have the drugs. We've talked about, you know, catching AIDS just through sexual contact. But you also have the needle sharing. You know, you can catch AIDS through needle sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Or splashes in blood. You know, you can't catch it. You know, you won't catch AIDS, you know, from tears and saliva. But blood, semen, you can contract AIDS.
So someone can have AIDS and be married. Let's put it like this. Someone could be married and have AIDS and their partner not have it and not get it.
Unless that person is using protection. I mean, if that person is using protection, yes.
Because you said that they can't get it from saliva. So that means if they're using protection when they're having sexual intercourse, then... Mm-hmm.
By them kissing, no. By him kissing her or she kissing him, it's not going to give that person AIDS. The only way that that person is going to pass that AIDS on to the partner through unprotected sex, or if that person should, say, for instance, they would cut themselves, you know what I'm saying? And the person with that blood would be able to penetrate into the other one's, you know, bloodstream, then that person would be able to catch AIDS. But no, you won't get it from just kissing.
Okay. Those of you that have joined or joined in late, I'm talking to Dr. Lavinia Allen. She's an author of a book called Changed and Not Ashamed. She chronologizes her life being pregnant at 14 and going on at 17 and having three children and being married by that age. And then she progresses on to continue her educational endeavors, and she is now known as Dr. Lavinia Allen, and she has a nonprofit called Agape Benevolent Missions Ministry that caters to foreign countries as well as here in the U.S., serving hunger and teaching youth about abstinence and so on, feeding the hungry and the homeless. Dr. Allen, you want to elaborate on that? We have about 5 minutes left, so I want you to have some closing remarks and anything that we missed in giving excerpts from Change and Not Ashamed, if you would share that with us at this time.
Well, right now, what I'm doing here in the United States, what I love to do come, you know, Thanksgiving, we'd like to give our gift certificates to, you know, harm families, especially families that, you know, that may have a member that's incarcerated, and we give out, you know, gift certificates for that. And then Christmas time, we also like to give out, you know, toys for, you know, needy children. So this is, you know, this is a part of what we're doing now. We're also working on our budget for 2012. 2012 would be time to, you know, pay for our children that we have in school already. We have about 12 students that we are sponsoring now. So,
great.
You know, come next year, we have to sponsor them again. So that means that the money that we raise this year will be towards, you know, the budget for next year. So we still have other things, you know, we still have a long way to go in the budget, because our budget is really low now, because we just had an event, the anniversary of the ministry and the release of my book this past weekend. So our budget is low and we're looking for funds so we'll be able to, you know, support our children in school next year. We'd also love to be able to enroll more. So we need that, you know, we need the support. We also need your prayers.
Thank you so much, Dr. Allen, and I'd like to echo that. You know, unfortunately, a lot of individuals won't support something until the need is in their back door and or in their face. And we don't want that to happen. We want to sow our seeds and, you know, encourage and be a seed planter right now while we can do something. Those of you that are able to visit the website and give a donation, or if you don't want to give a donation, purchase the book, which will go towards funding her endeavors in Haiti for those kids in school, and also Thanksgiving and Christmas is coming up. You know, it's amazing. We think because, you know, we're in the U.S. that food is plenteous and everybody's okay, but there are people that really don't have any food. They're not on any type of assistance at all, and they are, you know, living from day to day, not getting any assistance. So this is where the nonprofits come in. Soul of a Woman. I thank those of you that participated and helped in the back to school drive. We were able to give out over 250 back to school supplies. And Christmas is coming up. Toys are needed for the young people because, you know, the economy is rough. A lot of parents can't afford to buy things and have things under the tree for their little ones. So it's important for us to participate where we can because but by the grace of God, there go I. We never know when it's our turn where we may need,
you know,
a hand up, not a hand out, a hand up.
Valerie, I just wanted to, you know, sometimes we seem to think that it cannot happen to us, but right now here in Broward County, we have a shelter open. We had this rain and we had the floods, and many families have lost everything, and they are in shelters. I also work for the American Red Cross, and I have been called to go, and which I will go and volunteer to work in the shelter. But we have many families that are in the shelters because their homes, you know, they have lost their homes due to flood. And many of them are renters, so therefore, you know, there's no rental insurance. So we need, you know, we need to, whenever we can do, we need to think about that it really can happen to us.
Yes.
Nobody, you know, it can happen.
You know, and we have had devastation after devastation. You know, a lot of individuals have forgotten about what happened in the South this past winter, where you were actually there working with the Red Cross there, lending assistance because of the tornadoes and the hurricanes and all the wind and the rains and the flooding. This is happening right here in our back door. And we
Absolutely.
Have to participate. See, the Red Cross and United Way and all that is they're excellent foundations, but when you have grassroots foundation like Agape Benevolence and the Soul of a Woman Foundation, there are people that call us that are right here in our neighborhood that need help, and it takes money to do that. So
Absolutely.
Purchasing the books, giving donation goes to fund those causes. The need is great, but you know, the labors and the finances are very few. But I want to thank you so much for your dedication, Dr. Allen, to, you know, the work you're doing worldwide, not just locally, but worldwide.
Well, I thank you so very much, Valerie, for having me on your show. I listen to your show regularly, and I enjoy what you do. And I, what you also know that I admire the work that you're doing, and you are to keep up your good work as well.
Well, thank you so much. It's people like you that make me press on and do what I'm doing. It's because if I can provide a platform to give you the exposure, then that's what I'm going to do because iron sharpens iron. I thank you all so much for joining another Hot Topics from the Soul, and I encourage you to visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And if you need information regarding Dr. Lavinia Allen or Agape Benevolent, you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com, soultopics@gmail.com. And don't forget to purchase a book, Changed and Not Ashamed, and give it to a young person that is struggling with identity or have had a child and is struggling with being a parent. Purchase that book. Good night, and y'all have a powerful week. Until next Tuesday, peace and blessings. Thank you for joining.
Good night.
Good night.